Thank you and good evening. It's 12 minutes past 10 here in Sydney. John Woods with you on 702BL. And between now and midnight, which is the allotted time we have with you tonight, things happening, lots of music. We'll be hearing from, I think, probably my favourite overseas ABC reporter, Bernard Mays. We'll be hearing an interview with Sam Neill. Lots of things happening. Also, I'll be talking with Jamie White. And if you don't know who Jamie White is, he'll be live here in the studio. And he has just recently sailed here into Sydney on the Bounty. The Bounty is a replica of the original ship, the Bounty, of which we've all heard, of course. Mutiny on the Bounty, Fletcher Christian, the movie with Mel Gibson. The replica of the ship, the Bounty, was used in the making of the film, the Bounty, which starred Mel Gibson, Anthony Hopkins, Laurence Olivier, and many other people. And Jamie White has recently sailed from the United States of America, I believe, to Australia on the replica of the Bounty, which is destined to be a part of Australia's bicentennial celebrations. And I will, in fact, very shortly be talking live in the studio here with Jamie White and, as I mentioned, among other things, Sam Neill and Bernard Mays on the program this evening between now and midnight. No, we don't want any more. That was Cat Stevens and a song called Longer Boats. And I must say that thinking about it all, Longer Boats was a perfect song to introduce my first guest this evening. Time on 702BL. That's almost 23 minutes past 10. everybody has heard of the Bounty, the mutiny on the Bounty, lots of books and movies and television specials. Australia's bicentennial is almost upon us, and one of the highlights is to be a reenactment of the fleet that sailed into Sydney Cove, or Port Jackson to be more precise, on the 26th of January 1788. The flagship of the fleet that will lead the reenactment into Sydney Harbour on the 26th of January 1988 will be a rebuilt version of the Bounty. It's a boat that you may have already seen in a movie called The Bounty with Mel Gibson. It was built specifically for that movie and has had many uses since then. We have the good fortune to have been joined in the studio tonight by someone who recently sailed into Sydney, this weekend in fact, on the good ship Bounty. His name is Jamie White, and it's my pleasure to welcome him. Good evening.
Oh, it's nice to be here in Sydney. Thank you.
Tell me, how did you come to be here in Sydney this weekend on the Bounty? I thought the Bounty was due here on the 26th of January 1988, but you're here now.
Right. Well, we were going to stop in Pitcairn Island, but it was closed, so we came on into Sydney. No, we've arrived here because we're involved in a television production for ABC Television, Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Would you like to move a bit closer to that microphone?
I certainly shall. And we came here to complete our contract with them before setting sail to London and take part, as you just said, as the flagship in the reenactment of the First Fleet.
So tell me about yourself. You aren't one of us, if you'll forgive me saying that. How did you come to be part of the Bounty?
It's a funny story, actually. It was the right beer at the right time and the right experience as well, I should say.
That sounds very Australian for you to say it was the right beer at the right time. What do you mean?
Well, I was in Los Angeles as a sailing instructor, and the Bounty came in for the premiere of the movie. This was back in 1984. And she pulled into the marina that I was a sailing instructor at, and so as a good citizen, the welcome wagon, so to say, self-appointed, came down to the ship and said that if they needed anything where ship store supplies were, even if they wanted to use a telephone, they could come up to the office. And the very first person I met on board was the only American at that time from Boston, and we struck up a pretty close friendship that endures to this day. His name was Chris Giannini. We affectionately call him Tarbrush because he literally looks like a tarbrush when he's tarring the rigging, in other words, putting the black paint on. And the crew at that time were consisted mainly of people from New Zealand. And commander on board was Commander McGuire, who was from England. And I asked him the three questions you always ask a sailor when they come into a town. I said, well, what do you think of the weather? Because, you know, sailors are concerned with weather, as you know. Ah, it's nice and fantastic. And then I said, well, what do you think of California girls? You know, this is getting closer to the heart of a true sailor. And they said, oh, wow, you know, they're really nice. And I can see why the Beach Boys wrote songs about them, et cetera, et cetera. Then I got to the key question. I said, well, what do you think of American beer, knowing that it's good for doing dishes, but for drinking it's not the best that's known in the world? And they said, oh, it's horrible. And I said, well, I know. But what's your favorite American beer? And they said, oh, we like Henry Weinhardt's Dark, which is a beer from Oregon.
I've never heard of it.
It's a really good beer. It's from a small brewery up
in Oregon. I know of beers like Budweiser and Schlitz, but I've never heard of what did you say?
Henry Weinhardt's. It's called Dark Reserve, and it's a dark beer, and it's very good because it's not taken over by one of the quote-unquote, you know, conglomerates or corporations. It's still brewed the old-fashioned way. And
you know about monopoly capitalism in this country,
yes,
I take
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so I excused myself because I had an afternoon lesson, sailing lesson, and at the end of that time, I went to the first liquor store I could find, bought two cases of Henry Weinhardt's Dark, went back to the ship, asked permission to come aboard with a case over each shoulder, and I noticed I made a lot of friends.
Why is that that particular beer popular with those people? Because as I'm sure you are aware, beer that's brewed in your country, in the United States of America, has basically a bad press in this country because it has a much lower alcohol content.
Yes, it's really true because, that's basically a holdover from Prohibition. You know, when that was enacted in the United States, they went crazy. You know, well, that's how a lot of fortunes were made by rum runners, you know, other sailors, I should say, you know, running illicit alcohol from Cuba and places south into the United States, and certain families that'll remain anonymous you know, made vast amounts of money on that. And when Prohibition was repealed, one of the stipulations was that the beer would remain, for instance, on a lager. Like, if I would buy a can of Foster's lager in the United States, it cannot be over 3.2%.
Do you mean the Foster's you buy in the States isn't as good as the Foster's you buy here in Australia?
Precisely. They add water to it to water it down.
You have my undying sympathy.
No, it's horrible. That's why I'm glad that the America's Cup came to this lovely country, because maybe then, you know, we might get some decent beer in the States. You know? You taught us how to sail. Maybe you'll teach us how to brew some beer.
Tell me, what was your background before you came in contact, as you described earlier, with the Bounty in California?
Well, I was the oldest son, and my father said, "What are you going to do, Jamie, besides go into the family business?" So I went into the family business manufacturing bikinis.
Bikinis?
Yes, someone has to do it.
Well, I guess California is probably a good place to manufacture bikinis.
Right, but it's very good.
What was it in your background that led you up to the Bounty?
Oh, God, I guess if you look at a swimsuit, especially if you look at some girls in a swimsuit, they look like two large sails, two blossoming, blooming spinnakers or whatever. And I think that probably led me right into Bounty. And as a matter of fact, I'm second mate and sailmaker on board. So that did help me in a way, I should say.
How did it happen that from your first meeting with the Bounty in California that you became part of the crew and that you're now here in Australia with the Bounty?
Well, I was originally hired by Commander McGuire through the Dino De Laurentiis Corporation. They still owned the ship at that time.
When they were making the movie, The Bounty, with Mel Gibson.
No, this was after the movie, when she was brought to the United States for the world premiere. That's basically when I became involved with the ship and stayed with the ship, from then to here in Sydney. And about a year ago, Bounty Voyages, which is an Australian company, comprised of various investors from around Australia, approached Dino De Laurentiis in regards to buying the ship and chartering her and turning her into a sail training vessel so that people from any walk of life can more or less have this fantasy on board the ship, learn how to actually sail a square-rigged ship, because it's really quite something to be the honor.
I guess we should put things into context. For those people who are listening, what exactly is the Bounty?
The Bounty is, she's an exact replica of the original Bounty that was built in 1785. And, she was purchased by the Admiralty, the British Admiralty, in 1787 and set sail to Tahiti to pick up breadfruit and bring it back to Jamaica as cheap fodder for the slaves there. And she is an authentically rigged period ship of that era, the 18th century, and quite a spectacular ship.
And prior to your meeting with the Bounty in California, did you have any experience at all of this kind of sailing ship?
On square rig vessels, I didn't have any real experience other than just a love of sailing on square rig ships and reading the Horatio Hornblower novels, etc. All of my experience had been on yachts, on modern fore and aft rig yachts and traditional rig schooners, etc., but nothing of the grandeur and etc. Of Bounty.
I think we have to avoid indulging in arcane conversation about yachting. For those people who are listening, who I'm sure are in fact the majority, what do you mean by a square-ribbed rigged sailing ship?
Well, she has three masts, which everyone's aware of what masts are. And then on each mast there are yards. In other words, the sails are slung below the yards, which are attached to the mast at a 90-degree angle, and that propels the ship. The sail itself is not attached to the mast, as modern yachts and sailboats that you'll see wherever you may be.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me when you and I were talking before we came down here to the studio that after you first came in contact with the Bounty in California, you went to California. You went to Canada.
Yes, we did. We went up to Vancouver, where we did a refit of the ship to take on sail trainees and passengers, and to also be involved with the World Exposition up in Vancouver.
What was the significance of the Bounty being at the Expo in Canada?
Well, the significance, I guess, historical significance, would be that William Bligh, who, as everyone probably is familiar with the story, was captain on the original Bounty.
Captain Bligh.
Arr, laddie.
Anyway, he was
Mr.
sailing.
Christian.
He was sailing with Captain Cook on Cook's last voyage when Cook was stoned to death in Hawaii, and he actually...
I thought he was knifed to death. Was he stoned?
Well, he might have been knifed, stoned, battered about the head, and severely bruised.
I didn't know that he was stoned. But
yes, he as he turned his back and walked to the ship, some natives came up behind him and stabbed him and clubbed him, and I guess they didn't have forensic science back then, so I don't know exactly what they did to him. It was nasty.
How aware are people in the United States of that?
Of the death of Captain Cook?
And also that part of Australia's history.
I don't think they're extremely aware of Captain Cook, but then that's one of the drawbacks of American education. We tend to learn about, strictly what's within the realm of, say, Americanism or whatever. There's not a lot spent on...
Jamie and I were talking earlier before he came in, and I was after he came in, before we came into the studio, and I was saying that I particularly liked the movie The Bounty, not for any particular reason, just because it was a really straightforward film, but most of the reviewers really panned it. Did you see the film?
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy
quite
it?
A few times. I really did enjoy the movie. It was very well done, I thought.
What are the people like who have sailed with you here to Australia?
Very varied background, and
what do you mean really varied background?
They've come from all walks of life. We have a retired airlines pilot who was used to sailing on small yachts, besides flying big 747s and L-1011s, etc. We've had doctors and solicitors on board. We had a tree surgeon on board from the Vancouver to Mexico leg. And
I've always wondered what tree surgeons are. What do they do?
I don't know, but...
you don't know?
I didn't trust him around our masts. Yeah, I thought he might start operating.
What was your point of departure when you came to Australia?
The actual voyage itself with... the coming to Australia in mind more or less happened in Vancouver. Before that, we brought the ship up from Long Beach, California. But it really, the voyage itself originated in Vancouver.
At the moment, as I'm sure you're aware, Australia at this moment in time is obsessed with 12-meter sailing yachts. In terms of size, how does the Bounty compare with the kinds of 12-meters that are sailing off from Adel at the moment?
Well, in sheer size, Bounty is about 33 meters long.
Yeah, but how much bigger? For example, I know for a fact that when we talk about a 12-meter yacht, we aren't talking about a yacht that is, in fact, 12 meters in length.
Correct.
In fact, most of the yachts sailing off Fremantle at the moment, in both the Challenger and the Defence Trials, are not 12 meters in length, but along the waterline, in fact, they're about 22 meters in length.
That's correct.
The 12 meters is arrived at by a very complicated...
Very complex formula.
Mathematical process and formula. But in relative terms, the ship that you sailed here on, the Bounty, is it twice as big as one of those, or five times as big?
I would say if you more or less blew her up, a 12-meter yacht, a typical 12-meter yacht, she would be... about a fifth the size.
So that means the Bounty is pretty big.
She is a very big ship, yes.
How many people does it take to crew the Bounty?
It takes 20 people to sail the ship, and we sail with up to 38 total people on board.
What sort of things do all of those people do? I mean, I can only think of someone standing at the helm with holding the steering wheel, being not a yachting person, I would say, and people who haul up the sails. What do all of those people do?
Oh, there's a lot of activities on board. We teach them celestial navigation, for instance, how to navigate your way across
the
ocean by the stars. Yes, there's marlin spike classes that I enjoy teaching, how to tie all of these interesting knots, which is handy, especially getting back to beer. If you're in a bar and every bar has a bell for last call, and if you see that it has sort of a natty bell rope and you can make a new one pretty quick, you can get a few free drinks. You know, that's a little trick.
Okay, so it's anecdotal time. What sort of things have happened for you and the people on the crew of the Bounty on your sail here from where, Vancouver to Sydney?
Well, yes, we, as I said, originated in Vancouver, but the last leg of the voyage started in Tahiti, and we've had quite a few interesting experiences. One of the nicest things is sighting porpoises and whales that are off the ship, and just watching a sunset from the deck of this ship. These are really simple things, but they're so rewarding, especially when you're out of the context of a big city or wherever you may be employed or working or living. You know, you get back to the simpler things, so it's nice.
I'm one of those people who has, I guess I should say, a weakness for animals like whales and dolphins, but I've only ever seen them, like, offshore. How different is it to be out at sea with no land in sight at all and to find yourself in the company of whales, dolphins?
It is...
For me, it's always been relative
magical
to the land that I'm on, or if I'm on a boat, to the land that I can see. But I have never in my life ever been at sea on a boat where there was no land on the horizon.
It, as I said, it's a magical experience almost. It it really makes you feel part of this whole thing called life, the whole creation and rebirth and death and all of this. It's very comforting in a way to know that these things really do exist, that there are things off the horizon in deep ocean, deep water, that haven't changed in eons, in millions of years or whatever. It's nice. It gives you a comforting feeling.
The boat that you're on, Jamie, the Bounty, will be the flagship of the reenactment that sails right here into Sydney Harbour on the 26th of January in 1988. We're just still some time off. What are you doing between now and then? What are you doing, and what is the boat doing?
Well, I am flying on Friday, or no, the vessel. We're involved with a film contract for ABC here in Australia, and we will be completing that, and then going to Perth for several days to watch the last bits of the America's Cup race. And then we set sail.
Lucky you.
Yeah, it should be quite interesting. I think we'll have a hard time on the weather mark, but we should do well on the downwind leg.
I had a reaction at one stage when our television screens, and I must admit it is still the case, became, and no pun intended, inundated with America's Cup reports. And for a while there, I got a little bit pissed off, and I thought, I'm seeing too much America's Cup. But now, I must admit, I really have caught the fever, and I really am interested in the outcome of not just the America's Cup itself, but also the Challenger Series and the Defence Series, and I'm really curious about what will happen. This might be an area of which you know nothing, but there's a debate raging in Australia at the moment about whether or not the Sydney representative in the Defence Series has a chance or not of in fact being the defender because of the particular rules that are applied by the Royal Perth Yacht Club. And I must admit, I have become really embroiled and really involved and in fact really interested. And I now watch television every night and I wait for the America's Cup reports because I'm really curious. Do people in America respond the same way?
That they do. There's a real fever now, and I think it was the healthiest thing for the Cup that Australia 2 won the Cup for Australia, because it's breathed new life into the Cup, you know, as well everyone has been saying that, but it really is true. And you've seen a lot of cities on the west coast of the United States and the east coast, and even in the middle of the United States in the Great Lakes District, all pulling together and getting community response and support, and just really making it more for everyone, you know, a sport for everyone, instead of, you know, people that stand in a cold shower tearing up $100 notes. You know, that's generally what a racing yachtsman is, you know, the New York Yacht Club's type, you know, et cetera.
So I really get the feeling from talking to you that coming into contact with the Bounty has really changed your life. Where do you go to
it
from
has.
Here?
Well, I don't really know. I hope to stay on board the ship continue this voyage to England and then back to Australia. After that, there are always other ships that are sailing around the oceans of the world. And I basically enjoy teaching the history and traditions that our grandfathers, if they were sailors, did in a sense of living history, to carry on these traditions, the sea shanties, the songs that sailors sing, the knot tying, even telling yarns, you know, all of these things that are intrinsic being a sailor. And
sure,
these are things that
sure.
I like to do. And in that regard, the ship has really changed my life and the people I've met on the ship.
I must say, Jamie, it's been an absolute pleasure sitting here and talking with you tonight. And I could quite effortlessly, my producer notwithstanding, sit here and talk to you for probably the next 2 hours. But I know he'd go berserk if I did, because we have other things to do. But thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you. And just one last thing I'd like to say, that
No. It
you've
isn't
got to love the sea.
It isn't the last thing. There's more to come.
Oh, good.
But I can't thank you enough for coming, and it really has been
really my pleasure. And I'd like to thank the people that showed us such a warm reception coming through the heads.
We should talk about that, because that's something I neglected earlier when we're talking. When you sailed in through Sydney Heads yesterday?
Yes, it was yesterday.
You received a particularly warm welcome.
That we did. It was a true blue welcome as we were approaching the heads.
You know your Aussie lingo.
I'm learning, yes. Well,
trebly.
That's right. And we had yachts all alongside us, and powerboats of every description offering us beer, etc. It was really nice.
And how long?
Quite a warm welcome.
How long are you here in Sydney with the Bounty for? Where is she moored? Because I'm sure people would love to go and see the Bounty.
Right now we're at Pier 9. We're going to be moving tomorrow morning to HMS Penguin at in Balmoral.
Okay, very quickly. Now listen, I've got you here in the studio. I'm going to nail you down. I'm told you sing sea shanties. I want to hear one.
Yes, I do. Any requests?
Well, I don't know what songs you know, so come on. You sing a sea shanty. Come on.
I shall. Poor old Reuben, Ranzo, Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo. Poor old Reuben, Ranzo, Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo. Ranzo was no sailor. Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo, he was a Sydney tailor. Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo, captain's daughter Susie. Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo, she begged her dad for mercy. Ranzo, me boys, Ranzo, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't think we want to hear the entire song, because it's a little nasty. There are nasty bits in it, you know.
I would like to hear another song. Come on. Squeeze out another one. Come on.
I thought I heard the old man say, heave, John, kanakanakaturai, hey, tomorrow is our sailing day. Heave, John, kanakanakaturai, hey, turai, hey, oh, turai, hey, John, kanakanakaturai, hey. The bosun said, before I'm through, heave, John, kanakanakaturai, hey, you'll curse your mother for having you. Heave, John, kanakanakaturai, hey, turai, hey, oh, turai, hey, heave, John, kanakanakaturai, hey.
Have you taught these songs to people on board the Bounty?
Yes, I do. It's one of my pleasures that I really get from being on that ship, to teach them songs of the sea, etc.
Once again, I can't thank you enough for coming, and it was a pleasure to meet you. And you must have had a wonderful trip.
I've had a spectacular trip. The passage has been a lot of fun. The filming in Tahiti with half-naked women on the ship was a lot of fun. But coming through the heads yesterday, I have to admit, was one of the most spectacular moments in my life. It was brilliant.
I hope only that the rest of what life holds for you has been as good as your recent experience. Jamie White, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You're with John Woods on 702 BL in Sydney, the time 12 minutes to 11. This is a song that you'll like, Jamie. This is Jimmy Buffett. You'd like someone like Jimmy Buffett. He's an old sailor. See you, mate.
All the best. Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp there beginning to boil. Wasting away. Sure, but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for soon it will render that frozen.